Two young lads in a cluttered bedroom.
Last summer, I decided to kill my brother. If I was thinking straight, I'd have planned to kill him in a sensible way. Like where no one finds out. Dumping him at sea. Burying him in a forest. That kind of thing. But I guess when you decide to kill someone, you're not thinking straight.
Black and white film of a big bang in space, swirling microbes, an amphibious fish, then dinosaurs fighting.
What the hell are we doing here? We're just a load of mixed-up chemicals. Change the recipe, and we'd be really big potatoes with eye tentacles. Or we wouldn't be here at all.
Wouldn't it be nice? The two lads are sitting at a kitchen table.
Of course, sometimes they do change the recipe, and you get a brother who really is a big potato with eye tentacles. And then you might as well talk to the dog, if you have one, which we don't.
You ate all the bloody Weetabix.
That's that language, if you don't mind.
Well, he is eating all the bloody Weetabix.
I like Weetabix.
Look, I had to deal with 3 pub fights last night. I can do without having another one in my own kitchen.
Ben, that was a bit selfish.
A bit selfish? He's got 8 of them.
Well, just have some Alpen.
I don't like Alpen.
No!
David!
Can you just grow up, please?
Go on, go. I'll sort everything out.
I'll call you at lunch.
Yeah.
Let you know what we need from Sainsbury's, okay?
Sure.
Bye, Mum.
Bye, love.
How do they cure pigs?
They put these headphones on, and they think they're going to listen to the Flaming Lips. But then, wham! 10,000 volts straight through their head. 15 seconds later, they're in a sausage roll.
Did I do something really bad in a past life?
I want to be a vegetarian.
Okay, we need both of you on the bus by 8:30. And this time I don't want any nonsense about can't find your bags or anything.
I need a poo.
Go and keep an eye on him, will you? I don't want him making a mess like yesterday.
Why me?
Because he's your brother, because I was at work all last night, and because I would like to finish my breakfast before it goes cold.
Nicholas Holt.
Normal kids, they're like houseplants or cats. You feed them and change the litter tray, and they're fine. Kids like Ben, you have to read them books all the time and buy them educational toys.
Tommy Jessup.
You go to the same bloody chalet in Devon every year because they like the climbing frame and the ice cream place.
Julia Ford and Neil Dudgeon.
And they need someone with them all the time to stop sickos dragging them off to their sex dungeons.
BBC Coming Down the Mountain, written by Mark Haddon. At school, David is sketching a horse beautifully with a pencil. In class.
The pall of smoke stretched for 50 David Phillips, are you listening to a word I'm saying?
Great Fire of London, September 1666. Started in Pudding Lane. House belonged to the King's Baker.
Okay. No. Gary Jeevans, in 12 years' time, you're going to be stacking shelves in some godforsaken branch of Asda. Suddenly, it's going to dawn on you what the point of all this was. Okay. Nah.
So, you heard about this party at Connors, yeah?
When's this?
Tonight. Is Dad's in Cardiff for the weekend? Are you going to come or are you babysitting again?
Maybe. It's just complicated.
It's going to be brilliant. His brother's bringing some of that skunk over. Apparently, if you smoke a whole joint, you can't feel your legs. And then you just, like, vomit everywhere.
Okay, I'll come.
I want to go home.
Mackie's got a can of petrol.
We're heading over to Connors now.
Okay, I've got to take Ben back. I'll catch up later.
Oh, come on. Don't want to pitch up on my own.
David considers.
Ben, look. Don't tell Mum and Dad, yeah?
You remember did this before, and I got into trouble.
No, I got into trouble. Anyway, Mum and Dad won't find out. So Mama took you home, and then went back to Connor's place, yeah? Keep the change and buy yourself some chocolate at the shop.
Ben wipes his face, and later sits on a bus as rowdy kids squabble behind him.
I spent my entire life sharing a room with Ben. ...16 years, and I don't think the two of us had ever been more than 0.5 mile apart. I had to get some space.
David smokes a cigarette.
It was just like every other party. I stand around in Connor's living room, watching everyone from school doing their mating rituals, waiting for Rob to take the piss.
Dale Hardcastle fancies you.
Yeah, right.
I know, baffling. But there you go, women are a mystery.
You're not serious.
Megan overheard Gail talking to that the other day.
And I overheard two teachers talking, and apparently Mr. Minton has a tail, which is why he always wears those baggy trousers.
You really are quite odd, aren't you?
Scout's honour.
You're winding me up.
When have I ever lied to you?
When you peed in that bottle and told me it was homebrew.
It's your call.
I might be stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
Hey, get some of that tan your neck, mate.
No, thanks.
Bloody girl.
Is it true?
Davy's got a good sense of humour. Plus, she really liked that sculpture we did for Remembrance Day.
The one of the dead bodies?
You don't want to shag, do you?
No.
Well, no, I'm in asking.
It's easy for Rob, because the doctors took his brain out at birth and replaced it with the brain of a small and very excitable dog. Which is great for him.
Though it does mean he talks bollocks most of the time.
Old Skin and Goggles having a clear out. Sort of Lucky Dip Remainders thing. Said this might appeal to our sense of adventure.
So these are?
I have no idea.
They each take a different kind of pill and wash them down with beer.
12 monkeys. It works in 12 monkeys.
No, it doesn't. Because all the clues that show everyone how to go back in time to stop the plague are put there by Bruce Willis after he goes back in time.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. I mean, if you go back in time, you're going to end up changing something, right?
No, it doesn't work like that.
Why not?
Because if you could change our past, someone from the future could change the present. So we'd have to wait till the end of time to find out what we're meant to be doing now. Unless every time someone changes our past, the universe splits into two and there's millions of different... Aye, aye. Bandits at 12 o'clock.
Two girls arrive.
I'm telling the truth. You do realise that, don't you? I mean, before you throw away the chance to get your grubby hands on the most amazing arse in North London.
One of them, Gail, has long dark hair and stares at David intensely.
OK. Say you're right for the sake of argument.
Would it work? It never works because our house smells of wheat or because I'd get them pregnant with little disabled babies or...
I don't know why. It's bad enough when Mandy Fulcher chucked me and she had a moustache.
So you're just going to give up? And spend the rest of your life living in a bedsit, eating pot noodles and masturbating over weird porn?
It could be worse.
You are a strange, sad little man.
Liam persuaded Patrick's little brother to smoke a tampon.
This I have to see.
Rob dashes off, leaving David sitting on the stairs alone. He swigs from his beer can.
Gail Hardcastle. God, even girls fancied her. I reckon she was beamed down from another planet to torture the rest of us. A couple of years and she'd be gone. Work as a model. Marry someone with a yacht. But me, I was stuck in real life and trying not to think about it. Video games, 12 cans of lager. Get far enough out of it and you can pretend you're not even here.
He sits, lost in a dream world. In his mind, he paints a perfect replica of the Cern Abbas giant on a hall floorway at school. He sits mesmerised and closes his eyes as he visualises his broad brushstrokes and the white paint in the dark tiles. He gazes down at his huge creation with its erect penis.
David. David?
Yeah!
David.
Yes! Yeah!
David, hello?
He opens his eyes in the dark garden.
Sorry. You know, miles away.
If this is a bad time...
What's going on? I mean, if this is some stupid joke you and Rob have cooked up...
What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. So it's not like a piss take or anything?
Why would it be a piss take?
Well, Rob said that you liked me. God, this is sounding really stupid.
So, you assumed that I couldn't fancy you because...
Guess my brother, mostly.
Everyone gets the piss taken out of them for some reason or other. Debbie Taylor.
Birthmark.
Daniel Spicer.
Weird smell.
Vicky Daly.
One breast bigger than the other.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not that I've looked at them much. little and large. That's what they're called. By blokes, I mean, not her. She probably hasn't given them names.
You're funny.
That's a good thing.
But you don't make a big song and dance about it.
David seems pleased.
Except you.
Except me what?
Well, everyone gets the piss taken out for some reason or other. Except you. When people take the piss out of you, it's just jealousy.
Really?
He turns to look at Gail.
Yeah.
She looks at him, and he smiles at her. She looks into his eyes, seeming content.
This is the bit where you kiss me.
David hesitates, then moves slowly towards her. Their lips touch gently. He kisses her tenderly and slowly, with his eyes closed.
Sorry, mate.
What?
There's someone looking for you.
Tell them to go away.
I don't think I can do that.
David's mother stands with Ben in the doorway. Ben grins as David appears, walking through the subdued partygoers, but she doesn't look happy at all.
We ask you to do one thing, David.
I took him home. Then I came over here.
Don't lie to me, David. Mrs. Khan saw him on the bus. He missed his stop.
But then, I get off at the next one. And then, I remembered the way back home.
Okay. Get the picture.
You're coming home right now with me, young man.
Everyone watches as David picks up his things and leaves.
Entertainment's over, people!
Gail looks severely ticked off. Outside, David stands by the car as his mother opens the door for Ben to get in. She glances at David, then goes round to the driver's side.
In.
He pauses moodily, then opens the back door and gets in. He sits inside the car, deep in thought and motionless. The car moves away down the dark residential street. David sits in the shadows on the back seat, staring ahead pensively.
Then I remember. I have been away from Ben. School trip, North Wales. No Ben, no mum, no dad. The happiest week of my life.
A brief memory of loose grey stones and gravel, then a hand and shoe as somebody climbs. Two figures walk along a mountain ridge overlooking a huge valley. Later, Ben lies asleep in their bedroom. David turns his head on his pillow in the darkness to stare at him. Ben's fingers move in his sleep, and David turns away to look up at the ceiling. Daytime, and David's engrossed in a shoot-'em-up video game.
The new swimming, the new music, the new drama.
I dropped into Flog It and Run on the way home. The contracts are going out tomorrow.
So, we can drive up on Wednesday then.
God, 4 hours on our own in the car. We haven't been there in 17 years.
Well, don't get too excited about it.
Lay your cards right. I'll get you egg and chips at Emil Henson.
David, it'll be Rob.
Perhaps we should mention it.
David.
David's so engrossed that his mother gets the door.
The real world's going to come as a horrible shock to you, isn't it?
It's Rob. I just don't want him to build his hopes up and then have the carpet pulled from under his feet.
You picked up this guy today who'd accidentally stapled his hand to his desk.
You're right, mate.
That's disgusting.
Where are we going? To see Gail?
Hang on. Actually, you're going to see Gail. I'm just going to make sure you get there.
No way. I made a complete dick out of myself the other night. There's no way I'm going
She'll understand. Why are you even doing this? Because Abby asked me to. And because I fancy her. And we had a snog at the party. And she said if I was a real friend, I'd make you go and see Gail. So I'm kind of doing her a favour.
This is stupid.
Please? Go on, then. If she sees you standing on the steps for 10 minutes, she really is going to think you're a weirdo.
Rob hides out of sight. David stands in front of the door, looking nervous.
Okay, look. Probably think I'm an idiot now. Won't maybe seem dead with me after the night, but I can't understand. I just wanted to know for sure. And I know I'm probably never complete. I'm proud of myself turning up like this, but...
Gail answers the door. He stares at her, lost for words. She looks at him, frowns a little, then launches herself at him, locking his lips on hers. Rob looks up at them on his mobile.
Yeah, they're kissing. They're kissing right now. Yes, they're kissing. Right now. Watching them right now, they're kissing.
Yes!
Ben's browsing the lingerie section of a catalogue.
It was like I've been drowning. Then Gail saved me.
They're kissing on her bed. He pulls her dress back, exposing a pierced nipple.
For the first time, someone really mattered. It wasn't me, it wasn't Ben. And I realised that this was what life was meant to be about.
Now, David's having his nipple pierced at a tattoo parlour. The tattooist eyes Gail lustfully. Outside, David pops a pill, then swigs from a small vodka bottle.
We slow up as we drive past, and there's flashing lights and broken glass all over the road, and there's this woman lying face down. And there's blood pouring out of her head.
I want to go with a heart attack or stroke. You know, something quick, no warning.
I want something that eats away at you. Loads of flowers. Diamorphine.
I love you.
She looks back at him, both brooding and demure. David's father's washing his car in the sunshine outside their flats. Ben opens a window inside and gets soaked. David and Gail kiss, rolling around on grass under a sprinkler. On the back seat of a bus, they pull on Halloween masks. At home, Ben dabs on aftershave and admires himself in a mirror with his collar turned up. David and Gail wave sparklers around in a park. David spins a sparkler round in a circle. They look at each other and laugh. David's dark eyes gaze at her. As she breaks out into another laugh, it has the same effect on him. They kiss, holding their sparklers out behind them, and fireworks light up the night sky. The Halloween masks on the top of their heads move together as they kiss. A cartoon panel has a speech bubble that reads, "Keep your fur on, sweetheart. We're flying first class all the way." It depicts a winged man carrying a woman in his arms.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
We're moving to Matlock.
I'm having a crap, if you don't mind. What do you mean we're moving to Matlock?
I'm going to go to a special school. And we're going to live in a really big house. With over a really big garden.
Are you telling the truth, or have you gone completely mad?
Mum and Dad said that I could have friends.
Christ!
Ben plays with a lightsaber.
Get out! Get out! Fuck, this is insane.
What about me? What about Gail? What about my friends?
David.
We've all got to make a few sacrifices. You, me, your father.
Fuck!
If I hear any more of that language, you're going straight to your room.
Hi, love.
I'm hungry.
Can you make Ben a sandwich, please, David?
What?
Go on, there's some cheese and tomatoes in the fridge.
I'm sure even Ben can make a sandwich for himself.
The knife's sharp, and I don't want crumbs all over the kitchen floor. Will you just do it?
Christ! You want him to go to a proper school so he can learn stuff, and you won't even let him use the bread knife!
David puts a biscuit in Ben's mouth and storms off.
That should keep you going till lunchtime.
David!
Can I eat this?
David sits by himself against a wire fence in the dusk, idly melting a plastic bottle with a cigarette lighter. He remembers walking along the mountain ridge. His lighter's flame eats away at the clear plastic of the bottle. He stands staring at himself in a mirror in Gail's bedroom, wearing one of her dresses. She grabs his shoulders.
What's up, big boy?
I'm moving. To Matlock. It's in Derbyshire.
When?
A couple of weeks.
They both look deflated.
Well, we'd better make the most of the time we have left then, hadn't we?
I could come down on the train. You could come up and visit.
Overhear you.
She pulls him towards the bed. Gail looks down at him.
Pretend you're a girl.
She kisses him.
Matlock?
It's in Derbyshire.
Jesus.
There's some school there that's going to turn Ben into a genius.
But Derbyshire's like 100 miles away. What about Gail?
200 miles.
Can I have some money? I dropped my money and I went down the drain. I need money for the bus.
Why are you so stupid, Ben? Why are you so clumsy and stupid and pathetic?
I'm not stupid.
Well, why do I have to look after you all the fucking time then, eh?
Hey!
Why do I spend my life cleaning up your mess? Why do you take some fucking responsibility for a change, eh?
David!
Hey!
What the hell are you doing?
You're not my brother!
You're not my brother!
David pushes Rob away.
Get this dream every night. There's a bomb about to go off. I'm shouting, but no one can hear me. I shout, Mum, Dad. They just look straight through me. Then Ben turns to me, and I know he's the only person who can see me. And I say, help me. But he just smiles, his big, stupid smile, and turns and walks away. And I wake up, and I'm sweating, and I think, it's okay. It's just a dream. Except it isn't, is it? It's my life.
Gail looks at him compassionately and kisses him. She places her arm around his shoulder. They kiss eagerly, their eyes closed. Gail pulls away from him suddenly. David watches her as she walks up the steps to her front door. She walks inside without looking back and closes the door.
Then I was drowning again.
David walks away. As he goes, Gail wanders through her home.
It's a Red Cross parcel, like in Colditz. There's 10 postcards with stamps on. And there's some of that skunk from Kevin, but we put it in a Quality Street wrapper, so don't let anyone eat it, okay? And there's a copy of Penthouse. Abby wasn't so keen, but I said it was like compassionate grounds. And there's that book I was telling you about, The Darkest Star, which is just awesome. And a DVD of 12 Monkeys, so you can see you were talking bollocks. Look after yourself. Rob.
Come on, shift your arse, or you're going to be left behind.
David stands in his empty bedroom.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to both of you from your mum, Eileen, and of course your dad, Terry. Debbie, this one's for you. The Wonderful World of the Young. A hit for Danny Williams in the same year.
What are the people in Matlock going to be like?
They've got webbed feet and they all talk Maltese.
Do they eat Maltesers?
No, they mostly eat parsnips.
I hope we didn't have to eat parsnips.
Except on Sundays when they bake a child in a pie.
David.
I thought it was funny.
OK, then. We'll just eat the fingers and chuck them.
David, that is horrible.
Ben has a radio-controlled car. David's on his mobile.
Hi. Yeah, girl. It's David. We got here. Matlock. Turn left at the Gobi Desert. I miss you. Give me a call, OK?
Are you going to give us a hand with this lot or what?
David reluctantly goes to help his family unpack in his new school.
Right, you're in pairs. One of you's going to be Rosencrantz, the other Guildenstern. I want you to write a conversation that they might have. In the court, on the ship, just imagine what they might be talking about. Everyone understand? You've got 15 minutes.
David's been sketching a skull.
What is that?
You. Me. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Pretty much everyone eventually.
OK, it's just, I left a couple of messages on her mobile. And, well, I know she lost the last two, so... Yeah, if you could... Cheers, thanks.
This is David.
My name's Henry.
Henry's in my class. And he's going to be my special friend. And he's going to look after me.
What's your favourite football team?
Not really my thing, football.
Henry's got a girlfriend. She's good, Natasha.
Why are you drawing dead monkeys all over a postcard?
David can be a bit strange sometimes.
Okay.
Come on. Let's give him some mum.
Henry and Ben walk off with their arms round each other, leaving David sketching at the table in his new garden. He now sits on a wide green hillside overlooking fields and hedgerows, holding his mobile and staring at it intensely. David has just finished showering at school. Two other lads enter the changing room and notice him.
What the fuck is that?
It's a nipple ring.
You're queer, ain't you? New kids are queer.
Why hasn't he got an erection then?
Because you're all so ugly.
One of the lads steps close.
I'm watching you.
Without a word, David walks off with a sneer, then the thuggish boy and his friend head into the showers.
But I did speak to the woman who runs Little Ted's in town, and they've got a vacancy coming up next month, so I'm going to go over on Wednesday for a look round.
Well, I told you it would work out.
Actually, I think it was me who told you it was going to work out.
Can I get on to Henry's on Saturday?
Fine by me.
Well, you give me Henry's phone number, and I'll have a little word with his mum, OK?
All right.
You made me new friends yet? No. Well, you've got to make an effort, you know. You can't just sit on your backside waiting for people to come to you.
Thanks for the advice.
David's sculpting a mountain out of his mashed potato.
Tell you what, let's all get our boots on at the weekend and take a hike up the big hill. Have a look around that folly.
What's a folly?
It looks like a real building. But when you get up close, you realise it's completely empty.
The others stare at David while he gazes out emotionlessly. His dad eventually looks back down at his fork while his mum leans over to David with a sympathetic expression.
David.
I'm not hungry.
Okay.
She gets to her feet and picks up David's plate with hers. His dad joins her at the sink.
I'm worried about David.
David stares coldly at Ben, and as his gaze becomes more intense, Ben senses something and seems uncomfortable.
You're staring at me.
Just as usual,
With narrowed eyes, David gets to his feet and walks round to Ben. Resting his hands on Ben's shoulders, David leans down to speak in his ear.
Just so long as you're happy. That's the important thing, isn't it?
Now, David's sitting on a roundabout in a deserted playground. He pushes it round slowly.
He stood on a slope of shale at the edge of the crater and looked up through a trillion miles of nothing to constellations he only barely recognised. Behind him, the wreckage of the cruiser lay like an origami swan that someone had stamped on. He had survived the worst crash in company history, and now he was going to die. Slowly and on his own. The nearest human being was 2 parsecs away. He had to do something. But what? Lie down? Scream? It wouldn't change anything. A tiny red light began to flash on his forearm. The acid in the planet's atmosphere was beginning to eat away at the seal around his helmet.
With the book Rob lent him nearby, David's on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Look, why don't you come up here sometime? Or I could come down there. Actually, that's a much better idea, seeing as there's nothing to do here. If your parents aren't keen on me staying over, I can always borrow a bed from Rob. Why not? Girl, what's the matter?
Momentary shock turns to despair.
Jesus, girl. It's only been, what, 5 weeks?
Listening, David swallows hard.
Who is it? Yeah, well, maybe it matters to me.
The naked, tattooed back of a man having sex.
In the tattoo place?
As the news sinks in, David's devastated expression deepens and he imagines Gail and the tattooist having sex.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Slowly, a thick bulbous teardrop forms in one of his eyelids as images of Gail straddling the tattooist on the paddy chair at the parlour cross his mind. Now, David's on a train that's hurtling through the countryside as the thoughts of Gail and the tattooist haunt him. Next, he's in Rob's kitchen talking to Rob and Abby.
You okay, mate?
Yeah.
You seem a bit worried.
I'm gonna head round to Gail's place.
You sure that's a good idea?
Mate.
It's okay. I just got I need to talk to Mum. Listen.
Yeah?
It's a bit crap, but I was wondering if I could keep on your sofa tonight. I'll keep out your way and everything.
Sure.
Cheers.
Ouch.
David's walking through the nighttime streets. Suddenly, Gail, the tattooist, and a bunch of their friends are walking towards him.
Look, here it is. Gail, can I talk to you?
What's your name?
Please, just go, please. I want to talk to you for 5 seconds. Please, stay.
Come on, just go, please. Just a second.
Fuck
Gail,
off.
Come here, please. Please, let me talk to you for a second.
David scrabbles with the tattooist as he tries to get close to Gail. Later.
What the hell did you think you were doing?
We'd be friends at least. I mean, the only person I've really ever been able to talk to. No, like really talk.
Friends ring to say they want to see you. Friends don't track you down and then scare the crap out of you by turning up out of the blue like a psycho and punching your boyfriend.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have come.
He mopes off. Gail watches him go.
Today is a lovely day to run.
Arriving at Rob's, he looks through the living room window to see that Rob and Abby are cuddled up on the sofa under a duvet. Packing blankets and dirty sheets, a room full of dust and a broom. Looking broken, he heads off again, passing endless strangers on the streets. He ends up at a large train station and drops to the floor, leaning against a shuttered kiosk. Don't look back to that messed up scene. At first, he tries to make himself comfortable by lying down, using a jumper for a pillow. But he becomes angry and starts to kick and rip his bag and its contents. A police officer appears, and without a word, David obediently picks up the contents of his bag and wanders off. Next, he walks through the gloomy city, then makes a bed in a shop doorway. Through the night, a rubbish truck trundles down the street, picking up trash left between skeletal market stalls. Next morning, David's on the train again. Arriving home, he stomps up the stairs. Get a new name and cut your hair. He leaves the house in his uniform, and once at school, he smokes a cigarette in a sheltered corner. A younger boy approaches him. The boy flips him the finger, and others look on tauntingly. In the toilets, David's leaning over one of the hand basins, lost in his dark thoughts, when the thuggish boy and his friend come in. The boy mimics having sex with David from behind, while he and his friend laugh mockingly. Suddenly, David turns on the thuggish boy and they start to fight. Although David's anger gives him the upper hand initially, the thuggish boy grapples him over and pummels him in the face. A teacher charges in and grabs the thuggish boy. David races out of the toilets. A short time later, David's crammed into a children's ride outside a library. With his face soaked in blood, he sobs as the little ride goes back and forth. At home...
So you disappear for 24 hours. You don't tell us where you're going.
I went to London, I told you.
David, if you're having problems, you should tell us.
I have absolutely no idea, do you?
Look.
Did you have a fight at school?
Come on, let's get you in the kitchen, hey? We'll clean up those cups.
That was your headmaster on the phone?
Yes, not now.
What is wrong with you, David? We've moved house. Everyone does it. God almighty, if Ben can manage to fit in, I don't know why you can't.
Yeah, well, I could fit in on the surface of Mars with an IQ of 7.
His dad slaps him.
You hit David.
Don't you ever talk about your brother like that again.
Let's go somewhere else, eh?
No. Leave him alone.
Oh, David.
Jesus, well, I mean, this is all about him, isn't it?
Look, it's not about Ben, and you know it.
Everything's about Ben. Everything's always about Ben. Ben's the reason we moved here. Ben's the reason I haven't got Gail anymore. Ben's the reason I haven't got any friends. Everything we ever do is so Ben can have a fucking easy life.
That is enough.
Ben wants a bigger bedroom. Ben wants to go to Devon for a holiday. Ben wants a model railway. Ben wants a Ferrari and a fucking Swedish masseur. I'm sick of bloody thinking about Ben!
David! David! Come here. David! Open this door. David, open the door. Open this door! David, I'm not going to tell you again. Open the door.
Having locked himself in the bathroom, David walks over to the sink and stares at his reflection in the mirror above. David. Emotion breaks through the coldness in his face. He gulps it back with a look of determination.
I
Glancing at something nearby, he rolls up his sleeve. He takes a pair of scissors from a toothbrush holder and slowly cuts into the skin of his upper arm. He screws up his eyes in pain as the blade breaks the skin. A dark trickle of red runs down his arm and he makes another cut just below the first. Blood splashes starkly red against the white porcelain of the sink. A tear rolls down his face as he stares once more at his reflection. Allowing the emotion to take over, he drops down onto the toilet seat, pressing a towel firmly against the cuts, and he sobs. Later, he's lying in the darkness, staring out thoughtfully.
Then it dawns on me.
He blinks slowly as he grapples with his thoughts.
I'm hurting the wrong person.
A wickedness glints in his eye. Next morning, David wakes to a blur.
Shine. Now, you listen to me. After last night's performance, I'm not sure I can trust you to do anything. But your mum's on her way to this job interview and I'm leaving for work in 10 minutes. So, you have to make sure that Ben is dressed and ready and outside in time for his school bus, okay? I said...
Okay.
Good.
David remains propped up in bed for a few moments after his dad has left the room. He makes his way downstairs and stands in the kitchen staring at Ben, who's sitting at the table reading a comic. Ben looks up.
You're looking at me again.
David continues to stare with a hint of malice.
I don't like you looking at me.
Pack a bag.
What?
Pack a bag.
I'm meant to be going to school. Mum and Dad know we're going somewhere.
Shut up and keep walking.
What are we doing now?
Now, the two brothers are standing at the edge of the motorway. David sticks his thumb out, but Ben looks worried. In a lorry.
So what are you two up to then?
We're going camping, I think.
Oh, used to love camping, me. Baked beans, rain on the canvas, soggy boots in the morning. Not done it for years. Wife likes the creature comforts too much. Take a bloody Uber if she could.
David remains silent, sitting in the back of the lorry cab, staring into space.
Let's fly away. If you can.
David and Ben are at a garage shop. While David waits patiently for the assistant to add up the things he's buying, Ben comes over with a large packet of crisps and a bottle of pop.
Can I have this as well?
No.
But I better want them. But we're on holiday, and when I'm on holiday, I'm allowed to have what I want.
The shop assistant looks up at them, and David reluctantly adds the crisps and pop to the rest of his purchase. Ben picks up a plastic sword.
Can I have this as well?
I'm going to count to five, and if you don't put that back where you got it from, I'm going to brain you. Do you understand?
I understand.
As David makes to leave, Ben rubs the top of his head with a worried expression.
Come on.
Now they're in a car.
David's my brother. We're going camping in a tent.
Well, it's getting late. Why don't you come and stay over at my place? I've got a little cottage near Llangollen. I could rustle you up some supper.
No.
Do you like country and western?
I like country and western.
Good.
Ben smiles happily at the music, and the driver glances over at David briefly.
Love is a burning flame.
Later, Ben and David are walking along a mountainside road devoid of traffic. Ben tries to catch David's eye, but his brother just marches on, stony-faced. At a campsite.
It's getting dark. There might be some wild animals.
Well, maybe if you got off your fat ass and helped me get this tent up, we could get inside it.
I don't know how to put up a tent.
Maybe you could ring Mum, and she could help put it up while you sat there and watched.
Ben looks sadly down at his flapjack and takes a bite.
I'd really like to ring Mum.
How'd it happen, Ben?
How did it what happen?
How did you manage to get to this age without learning to blow your own fucking nose?
You're being horrible to me.
Grab that bit and lay it out flat on the ground.
Ben holds the ground sheet but doesn't move.
What the fuck are you doing? Come on, it's quite simple. Did you not hear me, hey? You're pathetic, you're useless.
David pushes Ben back.
I'll do it, shall I? You want to watch me do this? It was that simple. Could you not do that? Could you not bloody do that yourself? Sitting there with your flapjack. Go on, eat some more, eat some more. You want some more? What are you going to do? Come on, just sit there. That simple.
David goes back to putting up the tent, leaving Ben looking confused and scared. Sometime later, David comes out of a toilet cubicle to find a girl washing up at one of the sinks.
Hi. I'm Alice. And then you're supposed to tell me your name and we talk for a bit? Possibly not.
David. My name's David.
Oh, so you're in Family Holiday Hill too, eh?
Not really.
What, because your family's normal or because you're here by yourself?
I'm on my own. Sorry.
Oh, well. If you ever want some company...
I'm sort of busy at the moment.
Well, if you get unbusy... This is the women's toilets, by the way. Some kids nicked the signs.
Alice smiles as she heads off. In the tent.
I want to go home.
You're not going home.
I'm cold.
You better get used to it.
Ben stares at David, who in turn gazes up at the roof of the tent, emotionlessly.
And suddenly I feel really calm. I'm thinking about Gail. The birthmark on her shoulder. This long brown shape in two parts. Like New Zealand or Japan. But she's a long way away. Like I'm looking down at her from space. And it doesn't matter any longer.
The star-filled sky. Next day, Ben tries to keep up with David as they trek across the mist-topped mountains.
You're walking really fast. Are we going over the mountain over there? It's a really big mountain. I need to sit down.
Don't.
Ben struggles up some stone steps after David. Then they head along the gravelly shore of a glassy lake. David paces on mercilessly while Ben trails behind. They cross a narrow walkway built over a narrow stretch of lake. Ben always a number of paces behind.
I never use the word kill. I never use the word dead. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I don't want to think about what I'm doing.
Lost in his thoughts, David is unaware that Ben has tripped, fallen, and picked himself up again behind him. They cross a valley of slate and pebbles.
It's nothing to do with me anymore.
They climb up the side of a mountain ridge.
I want to close my eyes and turn it off and run away. But I can't close my eyes. I can't turn it off. Can't run away.
Ben clambers up a slope.
I have to know what's going to happen. I have to get to that final scene.
Look at this. This is really, really high.
They've reached the top and are looking out over all the other mountains from a high grassy ledge.
You can see everything. It's like flying.
Ben grins, but David seems troubled.
I feel sick.
He takes a few steps to one side, then drops down looking dizzy.
Everything starts to spin. My legs go weak. And there's this sound like a 767 taking off inside my head. And I think, what the fuck am I about to do?
It was such a stupid idea.
What was?
Bringing you up here. I'm sorry, Ben. Really sorry. Didn't know what I was doing. Let's just turn around and go back down.
But I'm having fun.
Ben, please. We have to get off this mountain right now, okay? I'm serious. Frightened.
That's really funny.
It's not funny.
And I'm really happy. And you're depressed.
Shut up!
And that's why Mum and Dad like me more than you. And I'm the king of the world!
You fucking little...
Overcome with anger, David leaps up and pushes Ben over the edge. As soon as Ben has disappeared, shock sweeps over David's face and he leans nervously over the edge to look down. Standing there for a moment, he seems transfixed by what he's done.
Oh, shit.
He turns and races down the incline towards a stone cabin, outside of which some hikers are sitting round a table. David and the hikers run back to the ledge as a rescue helicopter thunders overhead. Just over the ledge, Ben is spread-eagled and motionless on a rock.
and suddenly I realise that I've just fucked everything up. If he's still alive, I'm going to prison. If he's dead, I'm going to spend every day of my life telling lies, shitting myself that someone's going to find out.
As the helicopter lowers itself towards Ben, David crashes past the hikers standing around him and races down the mountain once more. The pace as he sprints along a rusty railway line that cuts through the seemingly endless countryside. The helicopter flies off into the distance. David bursts through some double doors at a hospital and spots a sign on the wall which has been written, Mountain Fall, Heli. He bumps into a nurse as he heads towards a curtained cubicle. Steeling himself for a moment, he heads inside.
You're alive. I was so worried about you.
You must be his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You tried to kill me.
What?
You tried to kill me.
It was an accident.
No, it wasn't.
Look, Ben, I didn't mean for any of this to happen.
Yes, you did.
I'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The nurse heads off.
What the fuck are you doing?
You're going to be in really big trouble.
Wait, wait. Wait, get out of the bed. Get off. Come
on. Hang on a minute, you too.
Come on, let's go, mate.
David roughly bundles Ben out of the hospital. Later, a bus is travelling along a remote road. Ben and David are sitting on it, and as they talk, a man a few seats in front takes notice.
I want to go home.
Just be quiet, okay?
I want to go home.
Is he all right?
He's fine.
I was in hospital, but he didn't make me leave.
Ben, is he telling the truth?
Everything's under control, all right?
He made me come to Wales, but I didn't want to come.
Shut
up! And he made me walk up a mountain.
Ben, you're fucking strangling me. Now hold on a minute, here.
Oh, you want to get off?
Ben escapes from David's grip and rushes to the doors of the bus. They jump out and fight a little at the side of the road.
I could have been dead.
Ben, look.
You hate me. You've always hated me.
That's not true.
And that's why you tried to kill me.
I didn't mean to push you.
You're a liar.
David seems lost for words.
I'm going to ring the police and then tell Mum and Dad.
Ben, please.
And then they're going to put you in the prison and then I'll be happy.
If you say anything, I'll...
Well, go on then. Hit me.
As the wind ruffles his hair and jacket, David's expression softens and a tear rolls down his cheek. Ben studies him as David's face crumples. David drops to his knees, then lies down on the hard surface of the road. With his head against the gravel, he sobs violently. Ben stares down at him for a moment, then walks away along the road. A car passes David and he cries out. Ben's playing a video game on the veranda of an unusual-looking cafe when David arrives and stands next to him.
I rang the police from the phone box. They're coming to get you.
Ben's attention remains fixed to the video game.
I'm really sorry. Sorry about what happened in the mountain. Sorry about what happened back home. Sorry about everything.
I'm not stupid.
No.
You tell me what to do, like I'm a dog. You make jokes about me. You hit me. And sometimes you pretend that I'm not your brother.
The words "game over" appear on the screen. Ben reaches up for a chocolate milkshake on the top of the machine. He takes a seat at a nearby table and David joins him.
I hated you. I hated Mum, I hated Dad, I hated Gail, I hated myself. When we moved house, I lost Gail, lost all my friends. I felt so shit.
Well, you should have tried and killed yourself then.
David takes this in.
Actually, I didn't tell the police.
No?
Because then they took you away. And I didn't want to be left on my own.
David looks out of the window.
That doesn't mean I like you.
Alice arrives.
We meet again.
Who are you?
Alice. David and I met in the women's toilets last night, as you do. And you are?
I'm Ben, David's brother.
Cigarette?
Smoking's bad for you.
4 years off your life? About the same as worrying too much. So, what are you two up to then?
David's really depressed.
Ben.
We moved to Matlock. And now David hasn't got a girlfriend anymore.
I think she meant what we're up to, like, today.
He made me come to Wales. And he pushed me over a mountain. Except it was more like an accident.
We're not actually psychopaths.
Oh, no, it's okay. I live with psychopaths. Yeah, my parents are in the Holy Fellowship Church in Northampton.
So you're a born-again Christian?
Oh, no. Gonna burn in hell, me. Smoking, talking to boys. We don't even have a telly. Dad saw two blokes getting married on Channel 4 and put it in a skip. Basically, my life's crap till I'm 18. Then I'm off. Go to college, join a circus, marry a Canadian. What about you?
I went to work on the farm and milk cows.
And you?
David wants to be an artist. He can draw Darth Vader. He once drew a picture on Mrs. Jones in the nude. You could see her bosoms.
God, Minton's still probably got that pinned up in his loo.
They laugh together.
Can I have a cigarette?
Sure.
Alice hands Ben a cigarette and lights it for him. He puffs enthusiastically, then blows the smoke out, leaning back and blinking his eyes. He beams, and David watches him with surprise. Ben wafts the smoke around. Later, the three of them are walking along a country lane. Ben teases the other two with a long blade of dry grass. David tries to grab the grass from his brother, but Ben's too quick for him.
Sometimes you just make me mad.
Tall, spindly grasses growing out of the lake move gently in the breeze. Alice, David and Ben arrive back at the campsite.
Gonna hook up tomorrow?
Sure.
9 o'clock?
Great.
We better meet outside the shop, unless you want to get grilled by my parents.
Deal.
Bye, Ben.
She kisses him, making him smile with embarrassment. She goes to kiss David, but holds back. To Ben.
Look after him, okay?
Yeah.
David smiles to himself as Alice walks off. She glances over her shoulder as she walks away.
Come on, Ben.
Later, they're sitting next to a campfire with their sleeping bags wrapped around them.
Some days, there's this black stuff in here, and it churns and churns. It gets thicker and blacker.
I get sad sometimes.
Yeah?
But then I eat a bag of crisps and watch Star Wars. Then it goes away.
Maybe I should try that next time.
I like Alice. She's nice.
I like her too.
Do you fancy her?
No.
I think you fancy her.
Don't be stupid.
David laughs a little.
I fancy someone.
Who?
She's called Natasha, and we've done kissing.
Do I really want to know about this?
She used to be Henry's girlfriend. So Henry punched me. But now Henry's going out with Rachel, and we're friends again. What's sex like?
Sorry?
I want to do sex with Natasha. And you've done it with Gail. I heard you training Rob.
God, you're nosy.
Is it nice?
I don't know.
But you must know, because you've done it.
I was lying.
Why?
Because Rob had sex with Tracy Hall. Mind you, he could have been lying too. I'm pretty sure he's had sex with Abby Freeman, though.
Do you think I could do sex with Natasha?
I think... Jesus. I think sex is not the most important thing.
I saw a lady's vagina. Henry showed me his magazines. His dad keeps them in his desk. It is a bit frightening.
Probably best not mention that to Mum.
I love Natasha. And I think she loves me. It's a bit difficult to tell.
It is hard to tell.
Ben tucks into some food and David glances away for a moment, then back at his brother, who beams happily at him by the flickering light of the fire. David smiles to himself as he gazes down at the fire. Later, they're lying in the tent staring up at the roof.
I'm cold. Yeah, Ben. You're going to work on a farm, you have to toughen up a bit.
Do you think I could work in a farm?
Yeah, I think it'd be great in it. You would smell really bad.
That's okay. Can we do this again?
What?
Get him going camping. On our own.
I'm not sure what Mum and Dad would think about that.
It's really great doing stuff like this. With you.
Ben smiles as he gazes at David.
We should do more stuff together.
Yeah.
But maybe next time. Skip the fight and near-death experience.
Yeah.
Ben, his face scratched from the fall, stares at David.
We lost both rucksacks, didn't we?
Yeah.
The two boys close their eyes. Next morning, a policewoman walks over to their tent and unzips it. Sometime later, Ben and David are walking over to a squad car while the officer and her colleague load the boot with the boys' camping gear. Alice and an older man appear and she watches with a confused frown. David holds her gaze for a few moments before joining Ben in the back seat of the car. The squad car heads away from the campsite and Alice watches it drive up the lane. Dark rain clouds hang ominously over the mountains. In the back of the car, David seems lost in his thoughts while Ben looks happily out of the window. They drive past a beautiful lake. David and Ben are in their living room.
Could you not imagine what it's like for us, you both, to disappear with no idea where you are? One phone call, David, that's all it would have taken.
Anything could have happened to Ben.
Stop shouting.
We've been to hell and back over the last couple of days.
Stop shouting.
Ben, please.
I know, it was stupid. And I said I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
You're not listening to a word we're saying.
Stop shouting!
Ben, just keep out of it, will you?
Ben, I like going camping. And you're being horrible.
Ben, listen to him, for Christ's sakes. I do not need a lecture from you.
Shut up.
David looks proud while his mum seems shocked.
He can think for himself. He's got a girlfriend.
He's what?
She's called Natasha. And she is really nice.
He wants to work on a farm. I mean, Christ, he's the most normal person in the whole bloody family.
She's called Natasha. And I want her to come around for tea.
Both Ben's mum and dad look at him with mixed emotions, as if seeing him for the first time. David leans over to his brother. The two boys head out and their dad makes to follow, but he's stopped by their mum, who gets to her feet and wraps her arms around her husband. Alice is reading a series of postcards.
It still scares me when I think about it. Like it's going to happen again. This time he's going to die. It's like the vertigo. There's this sicky tingle in your knees. And part of your brain wants to jump over the edge. Mum saw the scars on my arm last week. I said I got them on a barbed wire fence. Sometimes I run my fingers over them to remind myself. It's like those photos of you as a kid. The ones with the dorky hairstyle and the Ninja Turtle t-shirt. It's you, but it's not you. Just this person who used to have your name a long time ago.
Alice takes a drag on her cigarette. puts it out and stuffs the cards into the inside of her jacket before heading off. At David's house, Natasha has come for tea.
It's called Goldie, and I ride him every Saturday. Is it come a riding?
Riding's for girls.
Mr. Clarkson, he owns the stables. He was in the army, and he killed someone in the Falklands.
Riding stables at 10 on Saturday morning, then?
Can David come?
I think you'll have more fun on your own, mate.
OK.
Thank you, Mr. Fifth. That's very tasty.
Thanks, Mum. Let's go up to my room.
OK. Are you sure you...
Come on.
Natasha and Ben get up from the table. David smirks as they head off with their arms around one another.
Stop worrying.
It's OK. I bought my packet of condoms.
Oh, my God.
I'm joking.
David, you don't joke about things like that.
I thought it was quite funny, actually.
You're both 12 years old, aren't you? I'm going to put my feet up.
Looks like it's me and you, kid. What do you want? Washing or drying?
They head for the sink, where David tries unsuccessfully to put on a pair of washing-up gloves. Later, he's sitting on a hillside with a sketchbook, working on a drawing of the landscape. A herd of cows moves slowly across a distant field. Ben comes to find David.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
You weren't actually having sex, were you?
No, we tried, but Natasha didn't like it. So they're just going to do other stuff and no one.
Probably just as well.
My testicles hurt.
Well, to sort that out for yourself, I'm afraid, mate.
Yeah. Your drawing.
Yeah.
That cow's a bit wonky.
Yeah, well, I didn't get much practice doing cows in London.
Did Alice write back?
Yeah.
Is she going to be your girlfriend?
I think it's probably not a great idea going out with somebody who lives in Northampton.
Right.
Might go out with Julie, though.
Is that the Julie who works in the shop? The one with the really big button?
It's not that big.
Does she like you?
She talked to me for like 20 minutes the other day, so I guess she's not totally repulsed. To wait and see, won't we?
That cow still a bit wonky.
Ben?
Yes?
Shut up.
Okay. Well, I still can sit here, can I?
Yeah, you can still sit there.
If I shut up?
Yeah.
Good.
Ben stares out at the countryside as David works on his sketch.